Have you noticed how Takfiri Wahhabis tend to promote a certain image of Shia Islam? You know, an image of the jahil, lying, cursing miscreant? Well, for the most part, this is just something that they've woven out of thin air. But there are certain personalities who pose to be Shia Muslims who back up the Takfiri Wahhabi representation of Shia Islam. There are particular deviant individuals who misrepresent the Shia school of thought, and it's exactly these people who are showcased by Takfiri Wahhabis when they want to recruit someone into the ranks of groups like Daesh. To be honest, if I was Sunni and somebody showed me a video of a Shia scholar cursing and insulting the wife of the Holy Prophet, and then told me that all Shias are like this, I'd probably want to kill Shias too, not understanding that this is only a small group of fools who are being promoted in order to create hate in the Ummah. So who are they? Mujtaba Shirazi, Yasir Habib, brother or Imam Tawhidi, and Alayari. All of these are linked in some way or the other to someone who we'll mention at the end of the video. For now, let's just call him He Who Must Not Be Named. First of all, Mujtaba Shirazi is the brother of He Who Must Not Be Named. These deviants are very good at looking pious. So you'll see this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
And think, mashallah, he's so pious. Yeah, well, here he is calling Imam Khomeini a pantheist, a polytheist. These people send their blessings on the Holy Prophet and his progeny and then curse Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma al'ani al-Khamenei.
Here he is calling Ayatollah Behjat an apostate.
Muhammad Taqi Behjat. أي كان مرتدا فطريا عن ديانة الإسلام.
He also refers to Ayatollah Fadlullah as Fadl al-Shaytan.
مات فضل الشيطان.
And then there's Yasir Habib. These guys go open a TV channel in London and start spurting out disgusting things about the companions and the wives of the Holy Prophet. Now I'm sorry to have to repeat the foul things that these people say in the name of Shia Islam, but we have to reveal them for what they are, because there are still some Shia and Sunnis out there who are not aware of the chaos that these types of individuals are creating. Yasir Habib refers to Aisha, the mother of the believers, as a promiscuous woman. And that the caliphs were passive homosexuals.
عمر بن الخطاب مثلا الذي تسمى بهذا الاسم ورضي به كان لا ريب منكم.
And he describes these things in detail. If someone spoke this way about Imam Ali, you'd be angry, right? You'd be infuriated. You'd hate them. Maybe you'd even want to kill them. That's how people are being radicalized and made to join groups like Daesh. That's how ISIS is being created. And just like Daesh, so-called Sunnis, are being funded by the USA, these so-called Shias are being funded, promoted, and housed in the UK. That's why Ayatollah Khamenei said, we do not accept those Shias that are supported by London, those Sunnis supported by the US and Israel. We do not consider them as Muslims, meaning we do not consider them Muslims in any way. Here's Yasir Habib praising the Queen of England.
بأمر من ملكة بريطانيا الله يعزها. ملكة بريطانيا الله يعزها.
What an idiot. Unity with a Sunni who prays five times a day, you know, believes in the Quran, believes in the Holy Prophet, but may also respect and revere the three caliphs? No way. Sending blessings on the queen of the monarchy that bombed Iraq and murdered innocent children? Sure. You see, the sole purpose of the existence of these individuals is nothing except to make the Shias look bad. And this, by the way, is why Hussein Shirazi, the son of He Who Must Not Be Named, was recently arrested by the Islamic Republic. You'd think it was the duty of any learned Muslim to support the Islamic system, which is built on the foundations of the Quran and the Ahadith, but no! This Hussein Shirazi just goes and starts referring to Ayatollah Khamenei as the Pharaoh and spewing out the very same anti-Islamic Republic sentiments which benefit no one but America, Israel, and Britain. And the saddest thing about it is that he was spreading this kind of anti-unity, Sunni slurring, just generally deviant talk in Arabic, so that the Sunnis of the Arab world would turn around and say, hey, look at this Shia sitting in Iran cursing the people that we respect and love and admire. Iran's clearly the bad guy. Let's go and get funding from Saudi Arabia. Let's go join Daesh and fight against the kafir Shia country. And then there's Tawhidi. Oh, Tawhidi. Tawhidi, you've been a naughty boy, Tawhidi. You see, brother Tawhidi was basically a student right here in the holy city of Qom. I've been talking to your friends, your former friends. Why are you pretending like you know anything at all? According to Wikipedia, he's 34 years old and was made an imam by He Who Must Not Be Named in Qom, Iran in 2010. In an interview, Tawhidi said he received his bachelor's degree and master's degree in Islamic theology from Al Mustafa International in Qom. But that's just not true, is it? Because according to Mustafa International, a BA in Islamic studies takes at least 5 to 6 years, but you weren't here that long. Let's see what Mustafa International itself has to say about you. The aforementioned person, i.e. Tawhidi, took part in the preparatory Islamic education course, the preliminary program, and the Persian language learning course from 2009 to 2011. And received the degree of these courses. I know exactly what that is, as do my other fellow Hausa students. It's just the preliminary course where they teach you Farsi and give you an overview of what you will be studying later on in Hausa studies. You didn't even start your bachelor's, but you're going around saying that you've done your master's. Bisharam dige! The letter goes on to state, notwithstanding the fact that he was present for more than 1 year in the seminary, no educational progress had been achieved, and it was thus that he was placed on probation and dropped out in 2012. Hence, the aforementioned person has no educational degree or any given score in his profile, and Al Mustafa University does not recommend Muhammad Tawhidi for lecturing in any way. You present yourself as someone who has the authority to talk about things that you have no knowledge of. And forget that! Tawhidi, who wasn't even a successful Hausa student, is now a Hausa teacher. Mashallah! Who goes to his classes? Like, who invites this guy to speak? Where did you get that turban from, Tawhidi? You're certainly not qualified to be talking about Islam, much like others in your social circle, but at least the others are at least a little bit versed in Arabic grammar, you know? At least they have a little bit of knowledge. They're the professional mischief makers. Why don't you just leave it to them, shut up, and sit down? But Tawhidi, what did you do to get press coverage? I mean, you must have done something to be accepted so graciously by the mainstream media. What did you do? See, Tawhidi is presenting himself as a figurehead of apologetic Islam, where he basically tries to say, oh, the Takfiri Wahhabis, they're the bad guys, which we all know. We know that Takfiri Wahhabis are the bad guys. But then he goes on to say that I'm a peaceful Muslim and the bad guys are using Sunni books.
This here is Sahih al-Bukhari. Ditched and ban it, and it should be illegal to have this book.
He basically bolsters the stereotype of Sunni Muslims all being takfiris.
Tawhidi also reckons he knows a terrorist when he sees one.
Shave the mustache, grow the beard, messy beard, stop using deodorant, normal music, they change their ringtone, and they start wearing completely Arabic dresses everywhere they go.
So what he does is he gives shoulder to all those Islamophobes out there who want to prove that Islam is a misogynistic, barbaric, violent religion. And he comes along and says, hello, I'm an imam. All those things that you Islamophobes have been saying about Islam, they're right. I know, I've studied it. I'm an imam. So then all the Islamophobes come along and say, good boy, Tawhidi, here's more promotion. It's like a Jewish rabbi walking up to Goebbels in Nazi Germany and saying, hey, all those things you've been saying about Jews, they're right. We are pedophiles and we are stingy. And then the Nazi turns around and says, good boy, Mr. Rabbi, here's a promotion. The Islamophobes want to prove that Islam was spread by the sword, so Tawhidi comes along and says exactly that.
How did Islam spread from Saudi Arabia down to Indonesia and Bosnia? All spread by the sword. We had many wars, and for the past 1,400 years, we have had a religion of war.
And what's worse is that he presents himself as somebody who has studied the texts in detail and therefore has the authority to determine that the texts themselves are the problem.
This book is danger. Danger. Nobody should read these books. They brainwash.
The mainstream media wants hype. It wants people to be scared. It wants them to think that a terrorist is ready to jump out at them from every corner and that Muslims are taking over, etc., etc. Tawhidi comes along and says, you're right, and you can trust me because I'm a Muslim. I'm not going to be biased.
And we see them attacking the police.
So we're being infested by radical clerics here in Australia.
Yes, clerics and followers as well. And I've said this to many government authorities, and I'd like to show you something. I bought this 2 days ago from a shop within Melbourne. This is Al-Qaeda's flag. These are stickers that are being sold for a few dollars. They have them on their windscreens. They have them everywhere.
What? He presents himself as somebody who has in-depth knowledge and is therefore exposing a Muslim conspiracy.
I expose their intentions to create a caliphate within Australia. I am considered a fake because I condemn terrorism. I'm considered a fake because I respect Queen Elizabeth. I'm considered a fake because I reject Sharia law and live by the Australian law. I'm considered a fake because I would die for Australia. I'm considered a fake because I want an Islam that is compatible with the West.
You deserve a good spanking, Tawhidi. And then there's Alayyari, operating out of, guess where? San Diego, California this time. I mean, he's just doing the same thing as the others, you know, cursing those figures held dear by the Sunnis, referring to Sunnis as Omaris and Bakris, trying to prove that the Islamic Republic is corrupt. You know, these guys just open up channels and their sole purpose is just to do these things pretty much. I mean, he's just one of them, but he's just not as interesting to talk about. Now, these individuals can be tied in one way or the other to He Who Must Not Be Named. And who is he? He is none other than Sadiq Shirazi, known by his followers as Grand Ayatollah Sadiq Shirazi. Here's Yasir Habib professing how he follows Sadiq Shirazi.
Our great scholar Ayatollah Sayyid Sadiq Shirazi said clearly it is mustahab.
And here's Brother Tawhidi saying how he follows him. And here he is kissing his feet or something. Mujtaba Shirazi is Sadiq Shirazi's brother, and Yasir Habib is one of his students. The point is, none of these individuals are representatives of mainstream Shia Islam in any way. They're just imbeciles. And you can look at speakers like Alayyari, the way they talk, their stances when it comes to unity in the Ummah, the way they address members of the other schools of thought, their hostility towards and negation of the other respected marjas, and their approach to Wilayatul Faqih. Where do they get their thinking from? Sadiq Shirazi. Some people might come forward and say, hey, you can't say that. He's a marja. To be a marja, you need knowledge. But brothers and sisters, there is a difference between having knowledge and being on the right path. One can be on the right path without having that much knowledge and he'll still earn his way to heaven. But one can have all the knowledge in the world. But if he's not on the right path, he's going to hell. The shaitan probably has a lot of knowledge. Think about it. If I was the shaitan and I wanted to mislead people, I'd probably become a marja because that's the perfect way to mislead people from the true path of Islam. One might turn around and ask, well, what gives you the right to judge whether Sadiq Shirazi is on the right path or not? And it's a valid question. Rest assured, it's not just me. Before presenting this information to you, our research team, including myself, reached out to senior teachers and scholars of the Hawza of the holy city of Qom. And after arriving at a state of yaqeen, of absolute certainty, are we coming now and presenting this information to you that yes, there is a corrupt marja in our midst. And brothers and sisters, this is not something that's unprecedented. Look at the history of Islam. Many of the elites throughout history have either gotten confused or they actually sold out to the enemies of Islam and derailed from the right path. It happens. And yes, this might be a little bit much for viewers to digest in one gulp, but don't you think it's time we woke up and realized that the zuhur of Imam Mahdi is truly close and that we are really living in that era of fitna and confusion? In this era, the right path will be very difficult to find. In today's world, which is the path of the Holy Prophet Muhammad and which is the path of his enemies, of Abu Jahl? Which is the path of Imam Ali and which is the path of the Khawarij? Which is the path of Imam Hassan? Which is the path of Muawiyah? Which is the path of Hussein and which is the path of Yazid? In today's world, which is the path of Imam Mahdi? The path of equity, of tolerance, the path of balance and dignity, the path of brotherhood and of resistance against the enemies of Islam. It is the true logical path which Ayatollah Khamenei is leading the people on. He said, "We are proud of being a follower of the members of the Prophet's household, of Shiaism, and of the leadership of the Commander of the Faithful and his direct rule as the Caliph. But this is not something to be proven on streets. Rather, such things have to be proven in a discussion with the elites and those who are experts in the field. What is more, these discussions have to be done in a logical manner. Slandering, fault-finding, using bad language, and trying to settle issues by swords is a kind of help to the enemies of Islam who oppose both Shia and Sunni. That's why Ayatollah Khamenei passed a fatwa making it haram, forbidden, to insult or abuse the wife of the Holy Prophet or his companion." The other respected murjahs have similar views. Ayatollah Sistani, for example, when he says, "Don't think of Sunnis as your brothers. They're not your brothers. They are yourselves." Ayatollah Makarem similarly says, "Without any doubt, the differences which do exist among the Muslim schools are not so many that they would prevent the various groups from working together in regards to their common interests." Ayatollah Behjet also said, "One who does not seek the unity of Muslims is not a Muslim. Our infallibles, peace be upon them, used to participate in their, i.e. the Sunnis, congregational prayers for the sake of unity of Muslims." Similarly, Imam Khomeini, when he says that we Muslims are bickering about whether to fold our arms in prayer or not, while the enemy is plotting how to cut our arms off. This is the true path of Islam, the path of reason, which most of the marja'een are on. The path of tolerance, the path of understanding. I mean, doesn't that just make sense? I mean, isn't that just obvious? Apparently not, because when somebody approached Sadiq Shirazi and basically said to him, "Look, I want to know if you have a similar fatwa because one of my friends claims to be one of your followers and he basically just attacks anyone who he meets who doesn't share the same point of view," Sadiq Shirazi replied with, "Islamic unity is a political scam and that Islamic unity is only valid if all Muslims embrace the faith of Ahlul Bayt." A political scam? I mean, does that make sense? If you meet a Sunni, make sure you tell him that he's a misguided loser and make sure you curse the Caliphs. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Ayatollah Khamenei promotes Unity Week, a week for Muslims to join hands and show their mutual respect. These guys do the opposite and start promoting something called the Week of Day of Bara'a, where they just sit mindlessly cursing those of other schools of thought. I mean, what the heck? And then Ayatollah Khamenei bans tatbir, this whole bloodletting thing where they just get blades and they start cutting themselves. You type in Shia Muslim or Shia Islam on Google, see what comes up. These bloodletting rituals are clearly giving Islam a bad name and a bad image. Ayatollah Khamenei categorically forbids it. It's just another one of those things for the enemy to wave in the faces of others to say, "Hey, here, look, this is Shia Islam," when the vast majority of Shia Muslims have never done such a thing in their lives. Ayatollah Khamenei comes and says that he's disappointed with anyone who practices tatbir. Sadiq Shirazi comes along and says it's mustahab, it's recommended, and anyone who tries to go against it is basically a Jahannami, which means they're going to hell.
چرا یه آقا میدی وحشت دارن از خون ریزی در راه امام حسین؟ برای این شبهات جهنمی نشن.
Where's the logic? I just want to see some logic here. Where is the logic? Since when was cutting ourselves a part of Islam? Which imam, which prophet practiced it? Who? When? The answer is none. Never. Zilch. None of our imams, none of our prophets ever did it. The most maybe you could say about it is that it's mubah. Where does mustahab come from? On the seerah of which imam and which prophet are we saying that this is mustahab? So when they say, "Look at these Shias, all they do is cut themselves, all they do is slander and curse the wives and the companions of the Holy Prophet," it's being promoted by these individuals, the Shirazi gang. The names we've mentioned so far are just examples. There are others who have gained popularity, position, and wealth off the back of the religion while pretty much having the same sectarian stance as these deviant individuals. Take Ammar Naqshbandi, for example. Around 5 years ago, I loved and defended him myself. That was when he condemned speakers like Yasir Habib and established himself as a voice of reason and unity.
"And may Allah lengthen the life of Sayyid Ali Sistani and Sayyid Ali Khamenei for their stand when they stood against members of their own religion who on YouTube curse the personalities of other schools in Islam. Imam Zain al-Abidin in Sham says the second aim of a majlis is what? Is to bring reform and unity in the Ummah, not to break the Ummah. On YouTube today, you'll find people dressed like clerics on YouTube hiding in a house somewhere in London where nobody can see them. They'll sit there and they'll send curses on personalities revered by others in Islam. I may disagree with those personalities. It doesn't mean I talk offensively about them. Why? Someone says. Because when I talk offensively, there may be a member of my madhab in Para Chinar who gets executed because of me. Whereas today, when they speak with their big mouths, they're causing a killing of someone in Para Chinar, a killing of someone in Bahrain, a killing of someone in Saudi Arabia, and actual killing in Iraq, where because of a foul-mouthed Mawlana giving a majlis, you found destroying the etiquette of Zain al-Abidin. A bomb blast happened in Iraq where they said purposely, that Mawlana in London, the filthy language that he uses, we will therefore come and kill you. Brothers, the second aim was what? Unity or disunity? Al-Muhammad said, don't compromise your beliefs. Have your beliefs, but be tolerant of others' beliefs. Isn't it? The Quran says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَارَقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you together, and do not disunite.
Since then though, it's just been downhill.
And they were now the henchmen for the first Khalifa, Gaddafi or Saddam, for example. If they have someone who doesn't pledge allegiance to them, we used to all speak out against them, didn't we? All of us used to say, these dictators of Islam. Why then a rule for Saddam and Gaddafi and not a rule for the terrorist government at the beginning of the religion of Islam? Yes?
I may disagree with those personalities. It doesn't mean I talk offensively about them.
Anyone who doesn't pay their zakat to Abu Bakr, what happens? Khalid ibn al-Walid and his beheading machine start going around. You tell me the root of terrorism is Ibn Taymiyyah? No, not Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah? Not even Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab? Not even Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. The root of terrorism is the terrorists on the first day that Rasulullah died. Or if any thug, if any Stalin, Mao Zedong, Mussolini, Hitler, straight away the world would be in uproar and they would call them radicalists. Do you agree? When Abu Bakr sends a group of henchmen, ISIS, when they burned that munafiq, where do you think ISIS got the permission to burn that munafiq? The permission that came was what? The permission that came was because Abu Bakr ordered that those hypocrites who go against him are burnt.
Because when I talk offensively, there may be a member of my madhab in Para Chinar who gets executed because of me.
Someone who is a terrorist is someone who does not mind coming to your house and threatening to burn you in the house. Yes? When Umar ibn al-Khattab makes it clear, let's burn the house of Fatima.
While Tawhidi, Yasir Habib and the others have a certain stance and they talk directly, Ammar's stance has become the very same as these, except he attempts to present it in a much more academic and structured manner through articulate speeches. But the stance is the same. Here he is sitting with Sadiq Shirazi.
Sayyid Sadiq al-Shirazi, may Allah lengthen his life.
And here he is with Imam Tawhidi. Recently, he's been attempting to dilute the system of Wilayat al-Faqih by designating it as merely a political theory.
The theory of Wilayat al-Faqih? But it's a theory. What is it? Theory. Let's repeat again. What is it? Theory.
Where did he get that from? Who else refers to Wilayat al-Faqih as a political theory? Ah yes, Sadiq Shirazi. Brother Tawhidi slurs the hadith books of the Sunnis on TV. Ammar does it from the pulpit.
He'd say that Bukhari said this, Muslim said this, Bukhari said this, Muslim said this. You say, okay, Mawlana.
When it comes to Palestine, Ammar perpetuates this idea that somehow the oppressed Palestinian nation does not deserve our support because they're Nasibis.
And do you know where most of these people who are fighting for ISIS, you know where they're coming from, most of them? What's country number one? Palestine. After I went on demonstrations for you, you behead my people. Saudi Arabian, Tunisia, Algeria, Sudan, Chechnya, Bosnia, bottom line, Ahlus Sunnah.
And bolsters this whole stereotype of them being those who hate Shia, therefore we shouldn't support them. Presenting himself as a kind of peacemaker, he goes to Pakistan and publicly takes a stance against the open and clear stance of Ayatollah Khamenei when it comes to the revolutionary slogans of Death to America and Death to Israel and Death to UK.
Because some of the khutbah language that is coming from our mosques is also negative as well. For example, Iran says Death to America, Death to Israel, Death to UK. That language, Iran will say, we don't mean the people, we mean the government. But why are we using words like death to?
First of all, why is Ammar defending America? And why is he opposing a clear position of Ayatollah Khamenei?
و این را بدانید که این شعار شما مرگ بر آمریکای شما این فریادی که ملت ایران میکشن این دارای یک پشتوانه و عقبه منطقی و قوی است دارای پشتوانه عقلانی است امام اگر امروز بود همون فریاد ابراهیمی همون فریاد بت شکن را امروز هم میزد همون فریادی که ملت رو بیدار کرد و به انقلاب رسوند
Ammar is from Iraq, so why doesn't he have a bit more dignity? Why doesn't he show his opposition to the great Satan while American troops are still in Iraq?
The third group say there's no radical Islam, nothing, never has been. Say, what do you mean? Say, it's all foreign policy, it's all America and Israel. In Islam, we don't have terrorism. They're saying that it's foreign policy because they want to deflect the attention away from the fact that Islam as a religion had terrorism as part of it from its very beginning. Yes? You tell him when the Prophet Muhammad died, America was living or no? America was still a creation that was not worth mentioning when the Prophet Muhammad died. Do you agree?
The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And it was President Reagan in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great, let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union.
Why is he defending America? Perhaps it has something to do with his affiliations. For instance, Naqshbandi serves as the special representative to the United Nations for the Universal Muslim Association of America, UMA, which is an American-based Shia organization. Stephen Schwartz, one of the Zionists behind UMA, writes in his article that UMA's first ever conference was held in Washington, D.C., and the first ever keynote speaker was the U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz. Not sure how many of us know Wolfowitz? This guy was the architect and mastermind behind the Iraq War. And the world now knows how they went into Iraq on a false pretext and killed millions of people, and the sufferings of Iraqis can still be seen today. UMA was created just before the Iraq War, and after their inception, the first thing they did was to provide Bush an immediate and unconditional support in the Iraq War. It doesn't matter where you live, to say that you hate Daesh but you don't hate those who funded, created and supported Daesh is just hypocrisy. That's why we say death to America. You can't claim to hate the Saudi regime for their building toilets over the house of Khadija, the beloved wife of the Holy Prophet, for their destruction of Jannatul Baqi. You just can't claim to hate the Saudis and not hate those who created them and are supporting them even today, i.e. Britain and America. That's like hating the fruit but loving the tree. It's hypocrisy. That's why we say death to America and death to Britain. This does not in any way mean death to the people of America or death to the people of Britain. It means death to the policies of the country. It means death to what those countries are standing for, which is nothing but war, war, and more war. This slogan will not be changed, nor will the revolutionaries change their stance. The free people of the world will continue to chant this slogan. They will continue to openly announce their enmity to the United States and Britain and Israel until the USA and Britain change their arrogant policies. Stop bombing innocent children, stop funding terrorism, stop bombing Yemen, stop bombing Syria, stop the sanctions on Iran, back off and stop spreading fitna and corruption through these deviant sectarian groups. The day America and Britain stop acting like bigoted, hegemonic, arrogant, evil, despicable, murderous, treacherous, rapist, thieves and the world police, the Muslims and the people of conscience will stop saying death to them. And just as a final reminder to the brothers and sisters out there, because I know that these things can be very confusing sometimes, remember the words of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. He reminded the students of the hadith where the Holy Prophet was asked, what should I do in a time of confusion? And the Holy Prophet told him that if you see all of the people going into one valley and you see Ali going into the other valley, you go into that valley. So Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said that if you see all of the ulama and all of the marjas going in one valley and you see Sayyid Ali Khamenei going in another valley, you go into that valley. Our path is the path of resistance. That's what we're going to do.